theme is, are you ready? You know, I don't know about you, but some people are good at getting ready early for things, and other people are a little bit last minute-ish. I would come in the latter category. Christmas, we need to be ready by now, don't we? Shops are all shut and everything else is... So it's a bit late if you haven't got everything now. But we trust that we might have a thought of, are you ready? So we'll start by singing, Come and Join the Celebration. Have a prayer now, please, and then after that, Andrew will do the first reading. Lord, help us to celebrate your birth. It's one of the most momentous occasions the world's ever known. And we pray, Lord, that we might, amidst all the presents and all the parties and all the rest of it that's going on, focus on you, because you're the reason for the season. And Lord, we pray that we might keep you central in all that we do. Thank you that we can join together as families and meet up with folks that we haven't seen for a long time and all that sort of thing. But Lord, we pray that we might keep you central. Lord, bless our time tonight. May it be for your glory. And may we just enjoy ourselves in praising you. For we ask it for your name's sake. Amen.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I had a clue. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. We continue in chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Continuing in chapter 3, verse 11. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat?
God was ready right from the very beginning. It's important that we remember that right at the start of everything, God was there. And he was ready. And he was ready to let Adam have a choice. Sometimes, when you see people about with little dogs, and I think Kathy's got hers and has it on a lead, you know, and suddenly you can sort of say that's the limit to which you've got to go. Well, God was saying to Adam, your limit is not to eat of that tree. And sometimes little dogs are very naughty and they get off the lead and run away all over the place. Adam was naughty. He caused sin to come into the world. But God was ready for it. And as we go through this evening, we will see God's preparations for it. So could we sing together now?
I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Ready. Isaiah was preparing the Jewish people so long ago, so long before the Lord Jesus came, and yet they didn't take any notice. Sometimes we're like that, aren't we? We get warnings and we don't take any notice, and then suddenly we're not ready. We can all run into that trap.
Luke 1, 20, verses 26 to 37. Sorry, cop. In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angels went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month. For the nothing is impossible with God."
Mary wasn't ready, but she was prepared for whatever God told her. And I mean, you don't get much of a bigger shock than what she had. But the fact is that she was prepared to accept what God had asked her to do. And sometimes we're a little reluctant to do that, even on smaller things, aren't we? And we need to remember that we need to be ready for what God wants us to do. And sometimes it won't be easy. Sometimes it won't be what we think we ought to be doing. If you take Philip in Acts chapter 8, I think it is, you know, he was having a successful campaign in Samaria. And God said to him, "Go out to the desert." And he was obedient. It didn't seem logical, but God was in control. And sometimes we need to be ready for things that he wants us to do that don't appear logical. As a result of Philip going there, the country of Ethiopia was blessed, and Christianity went there as a result of that meeting on the Gaza Road. Sometimes God asks us to do fairly crazy things, really. And we need to be careful that it's okay by the word of God. But also we need to listen to the Spirit's calling and leading.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Quite a task for Joseph to carry on with, wasn't it? Difficult to understand, but he was prepared to listen to God's angel. And we need to be prepared to do just that. Are we ready for that? You know, it's something that concerns me, that we aren't always ready for what God wants us to do. And sometimes people get surprises. And I gave one young lady a surprise tonight when I said to her, I knew she'd come over from America. I said, well, it would be good if we had your testimony tonight.
As Barry said, I'm Kirsty. I'm Fred's daughter. And Barry has known me all of my life. So when he asked me to do this, even though it's completely out of my comfort zone, I can't say no to this man. So here we are. So yes, as he said, we're here visiting for Christmas, and I haven't been in England for Christmas for 20 years. We left England 25 years ago, 25 and a half, and moved to America, but I haven't been here for Christmas since 2003. So this is very special for me to be here. And yes, you may notice my accent has changed, and I can't do anything about that. It is what it is. But, yeah, we just have to be prepared to share with anybody that asks when we're believers and followers of Christ. So I'll try and keep it short, but this is my testimony. So I grew up here, as I've shared. I grew up in New Cross, which is just down the road, around the corner, whatever, from here, and grew up going to church, chapel, every Sunday. So I had the knowledge, I had the preparedness of I knew who Jesus was, and I knew the stories and everything. But it wasn't until God took my husband and I and our daughter Ella at the time, who was 7 months old, to America. It was not long after we moved there, probably weeks actually, that somebody from the church that we were attending at the time came to speak to us at our little apartment. And basically they said to me, are you ready? And I thought I was, but it turns out that I wasn't. So they took a few minutes and shared the gospel. They told us that things that we already knew, really, that, you know, Jesus was God's son and that he came and lived on this earth and he lived a sinless life and that he died, but he was risen again. And just that is just the greatest gift. We're in this season of giving gifts. To receive the gift of having Jesus as your Savior is the greatest gift that any of us can have. And on that day, whatever day that was, I think it was June, it was funny. I remember because I'd just broken my ankle, so my leg was in a cast. And we were in that evening, and they came, and we had this discussion. And it was a very easy decision for me because I had the foundation, and I had the knowledge. But it was at that moment that I made the heart decision and accepted Jesus as my Savior. So that was probably 25 and a half years ago. And here we are today, fast forward. Peter and I are members of a very small church, much like this in size, probably a lot smaller than this actually, but a very small church in Frederick, Maryland. And through years of just learning the scripture, being in Bible study, through prayer and fellowship with our fellow believers, we've both grown a lot, I would say. And just, you know, when you're a Christian, when you follow Christ, it doesn't mean that things aren't going to happen to throw you off and bad things aren't going to happen to you, but you have that knowledge and that unconditional love and grace and mercy just to fall back on. And what a blessing that is to us. So there you go. And my pastor is always telling us back home, be prepared to share.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell them. Guess what happened? I was asked to share on Christmas Eve. How special was that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you.
Bless you.
And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You people. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
One thing's for sure, the shepherds weren't prepared, were they? They weren't ready. And I don't expect any of us would have been either if we'd been in that situation. But they responded, even though they weren't ready. You know, and that's good. Sometimes, even if we aren't ready, we can respond to God's leading. And it's important that we do. And look at the blessing that resulted as a result of that. You know, and, you know, they're recorded in Scripture for the rest of eternity because of their obedience, basically, to go and see what was happening. It may have been they were just nosy, but, you know, that can happen. But God blessed them. And so we're going to sing while shepherds watched. And after that, Ben from the African continent is going to share a little bit with us as well. So that's great.
I don't know lots of you, but I am Benjamin, Bruce and Bridget's eldest son, and I normally live in South Africa. Last year, I married Magdalene, who is sitting that side. You can pronounce her name Magdalene. It's the Afrikaans pronunciation of that. And we're also expecting a little girl next year in June, which is exciting. This evening, I'm going to share a bit about how I became a Christian and how I came to know the Lord. I was prepared, and I made notes. I grew up calling myself a Christian. I attended church with my parents. I occasionally read the Bible. And while I believed in the existence of God, looking back, I would not say that I had a relationship with him. According to Ephesians 2, I was dead in my sins and my trespasses, and I followed the passions of my flesh. This looked like me occasionally getting drunk, dishonoring my parents, being selfish and arrogant, and not even a desire to follow God and obey his commandments. Internally, I followed my worldly passions of greed, fame, and pride, but externally, I wanted people to think I was a Christian and look like a good person. I lived as a whitewashed tomb. Inside, I was filthy and smelly, but on the outside, I pretended to be a moral person who wasn't that bad. When I got to university in South Africa, I started attending a local church because I thought it was a good thing to do. One weekend, they had a church event where God convicted me of my sins and that I was not living as a Christian. The pastor was teaching on the parable of the prodigal son, who had taken his inheritance, wasted his money, and messed up his life. He spoke about how God the Father comes running out to meet the son and welcomes him into his house. I realized that God was calling me to repent from my sinful ways and follow him. While that weekend, I did not completely comprehend the reality of the gospel and salvation, I decided I wanted to follow God and was baptized. The Holy Spirit came to live in my heart and convicted me of sin and started to transform me into the image of Christ. When I first responded to God's call of salvation, I was fully justified because of the blood of Jesus. That meant that my sins had been forgiven, and the righteousness of Jesus had been accounted to me, and God now viewed me as his own. The process of sanctification continued to take place, where I grew in my understanding of the gospel and how to live a holy life. I came to understand what it meant that I'd sinned against a holy God. The Bible says that no one is righteous, no, not one. No one seeks God, but all have turned away. I saw how this described my life and how I had lived. I had sinned against God, and I deserved his wrath. It was the wages for the sinful deeds that I had committed. I also came to understand the unconditional gift of God's salvation. God saved me, not because of anything I had done or anything in me, but because he wanted to. Ephesians says that we are saved by grace, which is a gift and not our own doing. I was not a Christian because of what I had done, but rather because of what God had done, in sending his son to die for my sins and pay the penalty that I deserved. God gave me the faith to believe that Jesus had died for my sins. A specific verse which has meant a lot to me is Acts 20, verse 32, where Paul says, "Now I commend to you God and the word of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified." This verse taught me that I should trust God by depending on his word. I've learned that God's word is perfect, able to revive the soul, and the only sure guide that I have in this life. The Bible has strengthened my faith in Christ Jesus by teaching me about sin, God's salvation, and the hope that is to come. I've learned of the inheritance that Christians will receive when we live with God in the new heavens and in the new earth. In the new heavens and new earth, there will be no more pain, suffering, or separation from God. I would like to conclude with a quote that I think is true of my life and true of every Christian's life. By God's grace, I have been saved from the penalty of sin. I am being redeemed from the power of sin, and one day I will be delivered from the presence of sin. Thank you.
Ben wasn't ready to start with. He thought he was going to manage it on his own. And he came to the realization that it's only through grace we have been saved. It's not of ourselves. It's so important, isn't it, to remember that it isn't what we've done. It's what God has done. And we need to thank him for that.
The reading is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me the word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over the young stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come unto the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
It would seem like the wise men were relatively ready. They had a fairly long journey to go, so I guess they needed some preparation for that. You know, some people are not good at preparing things, as I said earlier, but they must have been prepared to do that. And another thing that helps me to think that they were ready was that they brought their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That wouldn't have been just a quick thing or pop round to the corner shop to get it, would it? It would have been special. And so they were ready. And they came, and it was a long journey. And they were prepared to come. And they went to Jerusalem, the logical place to go. Star guided that way as well. And then they found, first of all, Herod. He wasn't prepared at all. He wasn't ready at all. He couldn't cope with the thought that there was going to be another king. And so his evil mind was worrying fairly greatly in all sorts of ways. He was planning how he could get rid of this other king that was come. But it was interesting that the scribes and the others knew where Jesus was going to be born. They knew enough of the Old Testament scriptures and the prophecies there to be aware of where Jesus was going to be born. And that reminds me that they were sort of prepared, but not prepared enough. They had a head knowledge, knowing where these things were going to happen, but they didn't have a heart knowledge of knowing Jesus. So the scribes and that are like a lot of people today. They got a lot of head knowledge about Jesus. There'll be a lot of people at carol services that have head knowledge of Jesus, but they don't actually know him. Ben and Kirsty have pointed out how they have found the Lord Jesus, or the Lord Jesus found them. Wise men were ready and traveled a long way. Herod was conniving how he could deal with it. The scribes had a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge.
The reading is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
I think it's important that we focus back on that first reading in Genesis, because Jesus has said in John chapter 1 that he was there right at the very beginning. He didn't just arrive on the scene as a baby, but he was there from the foundation of the world. And he was there aware of what he was going to have to go through for you and for me, to leave all of heaven's glory in order that we might become children of God by putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Yet, it wasn't a sudden thing. Again, it's a reminder that God was ready. Are we ready?
Mine was easy to find. It's the very last page of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22, 16 to 21. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Be with all. Amen.
So the final question, we've gone from Genesis 1 right to the last verse in the Bible. And the question is, are you ready when he's coming again? Because surely he is coming. We don't know how he's coming. Not entirely. There's different theologians have wonderful ideas about what's going to happen and how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen. Jesus doesn't even know when it's going to happen. Only the Father knows, but one day he's coming for each of his own. Are we ready? It's a very somber thought, because there will be no second chances when the Lord Jesus comes. We need to be ready for him. I trust that each one of us will be this Christmas time. I pray that each one of us here tonight might be ready for your second coming. And whilst we rejoice at your first coming, we just thank you for that. We thank you for the happiness that surrounds Christmas time, usually for everyone. But Lord, help us also to consider your second coming and to be ready for it. So Lord, bless us this Christmas time. Encourage us in the things of yourself. Encourage us in family and friends. Be with us all. And now, Lord, as we have a cup of tea and perhaps some mince pies or something, Lord, bless that too, for we ask it for your name's sake. Amen.